sure. They don't like it in Russia either, I'll tell you that. All right. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you again, Pastor, for that, letting us come. He facilitates this, and I think he does it for us, really. And it's just such a blessing to get together anytime with my beloved brothers, and certainly just to do anything we can for the Lord and for his church.
We love God's people. Yeah. We love God's people. We love God's sheep. You're God's people. You're not Pastor Rich's people. You're not. Although we do create a matter of love and care that we love for our people. But you're God's people, and we love you, and we're thankful for you. I'm delighted to have some folks up from Kalamazoo that had in my life a long time. And we love you guys and praise the Lord for you. And some folks from Ionia, the Millers, we love them. Man, oh man, just a blessing. We've got some family here tonight. We don't care about them, but we actually have three sisters. They're all demon possessed, and we love them. But we've got two of our sisters here tonight. I don't even know where they're probably out smoking in the parking lot. I don't even know where they're. Oh, there. There's Patty over there. She's a devil right there. And then there's Lisa over there. God only knows what she does. And so we love them very much. We do. And of course, Althea is down in Brazil. And I want to say thank you on behalf of my wife and myself for supporting our son and our grandchildren and our sweet daughter-in-law over in Ireland. Thank you for supporting a missionary and missions. Thank you for that. And you can never outgive God. Amen. And so thank you so much. And your missionary in Ireland is doing a good job. I check on him regularly. I talk to him today. And I tell him, you get messed up, I'll come over and beat you with a baseball bat into a bloody stub. Amen. And I mean that. That's no joke. And he's doing a great job for you and on your behalf in Ireland. And they got a great church going. They're just ministering. God's doing some wonderful things. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bibles. Go ahead and stand up. Stretch your legs for a minute. Why don't you? And give honor and reverence to the Word of God. Don't be like an NFL player. Stand and give righteousness and give honor when something gives honor to. Amen? Right there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father, I love you. Thank you for loving me like you do. You're amazing and wonderful. You're magnificent. Nobody like you. Nobody. And I'm grateful for that. I'm glad I've got a matchless God. I've got a God who can't be matched. Nobody's like you. And I'm just so thankful tonight that you love me and that you love your people. Please, Lord, continue to do what you've already started here tonight. And even on the Lord's Day, I know you began working on your people on the Lord's Day. And even before that, continue the good work that you're trying to do in our hearts and lives. And may we be willing participants in what you're trying to do in our lives. Help us not to fight you. Help us not to rebuff what you're trying to do. Help us to participate and bow our will and bend our knee before the majesty of God tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' sweet name and amen. You can be seated and thank you so much. You know, with the help of the Lord, part of revival meeting is God's people getting revived and getting back, getting remedies in our lives for things that are messed up. And you know, there's some things that we all struggle with in our Christian life. And you might not be doing it now. You might not be struggling with some things now. But I'm going to tell you, my dad used to say, you're either in something, you've just come out of something, you're fixing and to go in it. And that's just the nature of our life. And there might be a few stout-hearted Christians here today that haven't dealt with what I'm going to deal with tonight, but most of us will. And maybe you're one of the visitors from heaven and you've never had a problem like this. But I want to address tonight with the help of the Lord, perhaps, and forestall some problems in your life and in mine that God will help us with if we'll let him, if we'll be willing participants in what God wants to do in our life. Now, first of all, you found your place in the book of Hebrews, and we've read that, and it's wonderful. But I'm going to preach directly to Christians tonight, just like a good preacher did just a few moments ago, and a great message from the Word of God, from the great psalmist, and wonderful message to get our minds thinking about things that we need to change in our life. But while I speak to Christians tonight, I want you to know, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to understand something, beloved. The Bible declares, and it's without equivocation, you can't argue about it, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. sins. You might be sitting here and religious. You might be a member of a Loomis Park Baptist Church. You might be a member of any other church in this neighborhood. But I'm telling you right now, unless you get born again of the Spirit of God, you're going to be lost and damned in hell forever. That's the Bible truth of the matter. You need to be born again. It'd be an awful thing to come to church on a Monday night and be in this house of God and hear great preaching like you just heard and hear mediocre singing that you just heard and then hear a message from the Word of God and then walk out of these doors not sure you're going to heaven. What an awful mess that would be. How horrible and tragic would that be? The Bible declares, for when we were without strength, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to know Jesus died for you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants to bury you into His family. He wants to make you a child of God. He wants you to miss hell. He wants you to gain heaven. He wants you to have power over sin. He wants you to be a child of the Most High God. That's what God wants for you. Jesus is offering it to you tonight. Don't walk out of here lost. Get saved right now. If you need to be born again right now, put your hand up. Somebody will help you and get you born again before it's everlasting too late. Oh, but if you're saved here tonight, friend, I want you to understand before you were yet without strength. You're without strength. You were weak. Listen to me, Christian, and you were profoundly weak. You were incapable of saving yourself. And it's clear to me, beloved, because since there's no strength to save yourself, you better understand there's no strength to keep yourself saved, and there's no strength that you can usher up from your own bosom and from your own heart to keep yourself in the good walks of God. It's by the grace of God that a sinner is saved, and it's by the grace of God and the power of God by which we live and breathe and we have our being. Amen? So there's something that many Christians get confused about after salvation. They really do. I've done it. I believe that you have done that as well, and that's the realization that we're no more capable, beloved, after salvation, listen, than we were before salvation. Now get that down in your thinking. You are no more capable spiritually before salvation than you are after salvation. The Bible said, Brother Paul said in Romans in chapter number 6, I speak often after the manner of men because of the infirmity of our flesh. The words from Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6 that talk about without strength, it's used to describe the utter weakness and the inability of the lost to save themselves. But as well, beloved, the word infirmity is used to describe a Christian after salvation and serving God. It takes the same definition and in both places. So what does that mean to me and you? I can't save myself. We all know that, and all God's people said. Now listen to me, you have no more ability to serve God in and of your flesh than you had the ability to save yourself before salvation. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to do right, if you're going to seek to walk after the Lord, beloved, you better do that in the power of God's strength. By the grace of God, Brother Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. Not by what he could muster up in his own flesh. Listen to me, beloved. What we amount to as Christians here tonight is the result of God's grace and His work in us. Now, let me say that again. Get a hold of that. What we amount to tonight as Christians is a result of the grace of God at work in our lives. As much for salvation, amen, but for our everyday walk as well. And listen to me. If we mess up as Christians, it's going to be because we've pulled ourselves away from the grace of God. We've literally not cooperated with God wanting to work in our lives. We've got to be willing participants in salvation, right? God, listen, Calvinism is a damnable doctrine that belched up out of hell right there. Say amen. It's a soul-damning and church-killing doctrine that kills God's people and kills Bible preaching and destroys soul-winning. We don't believe that anybody gets saved out of their own will. Say amen. God's all willing to save everybody, but you've got to be a willing participant in the act of salvation. Say amen right there. You've got to be a willing participant to walk with God. You've got to choose to walk with Him. You've got to decide to walk with God. I want you to see tonight, beloved, very quickly, the problem you and I have. We've all got problems, amen? I mean, we've got them, man. I mean, we've got difficulty. It's a problem to be a Christian. And you know what our main problem is? Listen now. It's the problem of the mind. It's a problem of our mind. Now, it shouldn't surprise you tonight. Obviously, it shouldn't, that there's a problem in our mind. Since our mind, beloved, is the battleground where the conflict with the devil, and I know Satan doesn't mess with me. He doesn't mess with a pipsqueak like me, but he certainly has emissaries and principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places that work on me, and he attacks my mind, and he works on my mind. And God, listen, God wants to be renewed in our minds. He wants to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. So the battleground is the mind. There's two prominent features that we got to recognize in this matter of the problem in our mind. Paul warns us about being wearied. Being wearied. You know, I'm finding the older I get, the wearier I get. Man, I'm telling you what, I used to work. I mean, work. I could outwork young guys and of course, mostly old guys, amen. But, I mean, you work a little while today and you get a little blister on your hand and you sweat a little bit and the next thing you know, you're dragging, amen. Come on, give me a witness on that. Yeah, all right, whatever. I'm telling you, I get tired sometimes. I'm not kidding you. I get weary in it, and it's the way it is. And we get tired physically, but oh, even more than that, beloved, we get weary in our minds. You ever find yourself, listen to me, you ever find yourself serving God and just feel completely and absolutely overwhelmingly tired? You ever feel that? Come on, say amen. Help me here now. We just feel overwhelmingly tired. And I want you to understand something, beloved. That goes beyond the physical. It's in our mind. You ever find yourself serving God? I mean, and you just feel weary. And you're not necessarily sick. And you've had good rest. And you've eaten properly. But you just feel weary in your mind. The head shrinkers, they call that clinical depression. I mean, it's astounding to me that these guys that call themselves psychologists, studiers of the soul, don't know anything about the soul. Amen? You want to get your soul studied, get into the Word of God, amen? God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what we need to examine here tonight, our soul weariness. The shrinks call it clinical depression. And though I've studied a little bit of psychology in my short little young life and my little bit of ministry, I find out that what they misdiagnose this problem is that God says it's not a weariness of the flesh, it's a weariness of our mind. He said you're wearied in your minds, and what's going to happen to you if you're not careful is the next thing, you're going to faint in your mind. You're going to faint in it. It seems, beloved, it's a bit of a, I think it's an elaboration on what's literally what God talks about being wearied. Rather than another symptom of a problem, it's an elaboration. It's God giving a more graphic description about what's going on in our thinking and our hearts. It means simply that we're exhausted in our minds. And man, I've been there physically rested and properly nourished, but I feel like my mind has got numbing fatigue going on in it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe they sometimes call it shell shock, but I'm telling you, I call it spiritual battle fatigue. Listen to me, beloved. If you're serving God, you got that happening to you once in a while. And if you're not serving God, guess what? Keep floating, friend, because the devil's not messing with you. He's got you handled right now. You're just floating along in your Christian life, and you're not doing anything. But if you're going to serve God, you're going to get wearied in your flesh. You're going to get wearied in your mind, and you might indeed get to the place where you quit. Oh, listen, have you ever felt like this? If you're going to serve God, I'm telling you, if you do anything to serve God, you're going to have this happen to you. Revival is a relifing, isn't it? Amen? Amen, church? It's a relifing. There's some Christians here tonight that have given up. You've kind of slowed down, and maybe haven't given up yet, but you've slowed down, and you're quitting, and you're thinking about quitting. And the Bible talks about steps that lead to falling. And Brother Jude, in the last two verses of the book, he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling." If you want to get to the place you're going to fall, just keep walking. I mean, look in front of your ship of your life, if you will. There's rocks out there. There's precipice out there. You're going to crash. You're going to be a shipwreck, and you're going to become a sermon illustration. You know what you need to do? Take inventory of your life. Examine yourself. Amen? We didn't talk about what we were preaching. We never do that. I think that'd be unholy to do. Would it not, gentlemen? It'd be unholy to kind of try to manipulate and try to overlap sermons. That'd be unholy. That'd be not depending on the Spirit of God. We never talk about those things. But I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit, knows what you need tonight. The great physician, the one who was to give you that wonderful, wonderful medicine, that balm of Gilead for your soul. I'm telling you, beloved, the people of God, they even asked this. Is there no physician? Is there no balm? And it was right there hanging on the trees. I'm telling you, God tonight wants to give you something that'll minister to your heart and it'll get you back into the fray. We need you. Do you hear me? We need you. We need you, young and old. We need you, old and young. We need you, male and female. We need you in the work of God. You must not quit. You can't quit. People are dying in their sins out there. We've got to reach them, and we've got to do it. Now let's look a little bit at the prevention of this thing. What are we going to do about it? Preventing it? I mean, do we just kind of determine, well, I'm just going to do better? Listen, beloved, some people show some symptoms of this problem, and they correctly conclude that it comes from a spiritual battle, and indeed we should do that. Oh, beloved, what we've got to recognize tonight is what we're doing is we're opposing God, and we're fighting against the Lord when we don't recognize what He's trying to do in our life. I want you to know something, beloved. If you're serving the Lord, I'm telling you, you're going to be pummeled by spiritual adversary. Jesus was beat up by spiritual adversaries. I'm telling you what, I've been beat up in my life before. I'm talking about physically. We're Irish, we like to fight. Come on, give me a witness. And all the Irishmen in the room, say amen right there. There you, all right, we'll meet you in the parking lot and we'll mix it up tonight. Amen. And come to church, let's tie on the hand glove. Amen. It's astounding. Jesus was pummeled by these spiritual adversaries. And you know what, beloved? Here it is. The mistake in Jesus. Look at verse number 3 in the scripture. Look at it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. If Jesus went through it, don't you suppose we're going to go through it? The mistake tonight, beloved, is made by people who think that the way to prevent this problem or burnout or fade out or quitting, we blame it on spiritual disease or the spiritual battle fatigue or spiritual shell shock. Here's what I'll do. If I'm dealing with this, and you know what, Pastor Rich, I know what you're trying to do at the church. And you know, preacher, I'm for you and I'm with you, brother. Hallelujah. Come on, let's get out there and charge hell with a squirt gun. But you know, I'm kind of tired right now, so I'm going to lay low for a little while. I'm spiritually fatigued. That's what we do. Look at me. Some of you are doing that. You know you are, and that's why God sent me along here to talk to you about it tonight. Amen? And you wish I'd go back home. Well, I will. They like me down there a little bit. No, they don't. They really don't. That's why my wife didn't come, because she don't like me. We can't sit 2 feet apart in a car. We know the truth, don't we, Russ? We know that woman, Joanne, is going to, well, let's move right along. That poor, she's going to be in a padded room before too long. I'm telling you. I'm just saying to you, we get to the place because we're in the spiritual burnout business. We say, I'm going to lay low. I'm going to drop out for a little while, Pastor. I know we got it. Well, I know that we've got stuff to do, and I'm gonna stay home a little bit. And I'm gonna lay low for a little while, and I'm gonna lower my spiritual profile a little bit. So I'm just gonna kind of lower my flag a little bit, because you know, if every time I poke my head up, I get shot at, and I'm tired of it. Yeah. Amen. I'm gonna lay low for a little bit, preacher. And I know you got all this stuff going on up there, Pastor. And I appreciate it. And I'm for you, brother. Man, I'm for you. But you know what? I'm just a little shell-shocked. I'm just a little spiritually fatigued. Let me tell you, look at me now. That's wrong. I said that's wrong. The preacher of the gospel just said that's wrong, because you need to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. You need to consider him. Don't consider me. Don't consider your pastor. Don't consider anybody else. It's time we start looking at ourselves in retrospect with Jesus and not other people. Amen? He's our example. He's our prime example. That's why the book said, for consider him, not Paul. For consider him, not some preacher. For consider him. I believe Paul had contradiction of sinners, but it doesn't say consider Paul. It said consider Jesus. I'm telling you something, beloved. We need to recognize these truths tonight and get a hold of ourselves before we get to messing around and we take a vacation from God and we start taking this sabbatical. I get so tired of hearing about pastors taking sabbaticals. I'm going to take a sabbatical. No, you're just going on an extended lazy vacation, bub. Don't hate me now. I'm not, you know, preacher, don't you think you ought to take a sabbatical? No, no, no. There's people dying going to hell. We need to be out there telling them and helping them. Amen? I'm going to take a sabbatical. I need to write a book, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. You know what? That's really called quitting. Amen? That's called quitting. You might not quit for a long time, but if you quit, if you're not doing what you're called to do, you quit, man. Yeah, right. You've quit. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is no solution at all. Not at all. Sin, beloved, you know this as well as I do. Sin is never a solution to a sin problem. Amen? More sin is never a solution to a sin problem. Sin is never a solution to any problem. Giving into our flesh never helps us. It always hurts us. Paul simply says, and I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. You can argue with me later on about that if you want. But Paul simply says, when anticipating a rough time in your mind, and when you know something's coming down on you, what we need to do, and when we, rather than trying to prevent what's going to occur, what we need to do is consider Him. Consider Jesus. Consider the crucified one. Consider the cross. Consider the shame. Consider the blood. Consider that crown. Consider the whipping. Consider the shame. Consider Him. Consider Him. Oh, I'll tell you, consider means to think with careful deliberation. Think with careful deliberation. Put your mind on Jesus. Think about what He did for you. You can't quit if you do that. Did you know that? You're not going to quit if you do that. If you remember His suffering and His bleeding and His dying for you, if you remember that, beloved, you won't quit. And so here it is. And again, as simple as my brother is, I'm probably the simplest of the three. And I like being simple. You know what? There's hope for simple people. You know, look at me now. Look at me. I'm not joking. There's hope for simple people. There is no hope for a scorner. You hear me? Look at me. If you're a scorner, there's no hope for you. I did a big study on that in the book of Jude, the difference between a scorner and a simple person. A simple person, the Bible says we have compassion and it makes a difference on them, amen? But a scorner, you try to pull them out of the fire and you hate the garment that's even spotted by the flesh. You hate that. There's hardly any help for a scorner. You go through the book of Proverbs and do a study on scorners and it'll astound you what God says about scorners. A scorner, listen to me, a scorner knows what the Bible says, knows the truth, and thumbs their nose at it. I want to be a simple person. So I want to deal simply with this issue in my mind and my heart. Not being goofy and not being silly, but simple. Here's the prescription, beloved. Perhaps you're concerned tonight about your life, but maybe you're not concerned about preventing this weariness in your mind. Maybe you're a person, you're sitting there, you're really not concerned about this, and this fainting in your mind, you're not really worried about that thing that threatened to stop you. You're not really worried about it because it's really already upon you. You're not worried about it coming upon you. It's already on you. You are already considering quitting. You know, it's a big joke amongst preachers, isn't it, Pastor Rich and my preacher brothers in the room? We always quit on what day? Monday. Did anybody know that before? Preachers always quit on Monday? They do. That's what they say anyway. Well, I got in a stupid car and drove to Michigan on Monday. And I quit halfway up here, too. The only thing that kept me going was Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Can I get an amen right there? That's the big joke amongst preachers. I quit on Monday and hire back in on Tuesday. And we joke about that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're sitting here tonight and you're considering quitting, you're finding it a little difficult to go on in your Christian life, perhaps you haven't even told anybody about it. You haven't told your spouse about it. You haven't even really told God about it. But you are struggling, man. You are struggling. You can barely read your Bible. You're maybe not even reading your Bible. You can barely puppet a prayer from God. And to drag yourself into church, it's about all you can do. Because you know you're going to come in here and God's going to be slapping you around about the very thing you're dealing with. Slapping you around. That's right. That's what He does to His children. He disciplines us. Amen? It's what He does. He loves you, trying to help you tonight. You feel like you're running out of spiritual gas. And I tell you, folks, I've been there, and that's why I'm talking to you about this. Because I'm telling you right now, if you get to this place in your life, and if you don't arrest this thing and deal with it, you're going to be a person that's on the side of the road while all God's people are going by and doing what they're called to do and doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there you sit, idly. You remember the early I pointed out the Bible says that we have no real innate ability, as it were, in ourselves to serve God as much as even a lost person does. You remember when I said that? I'm gonna say it again. We have no innate ability to serve God even any more than a lost person does, right? In and of our flesh, right? Come on, say amen, church. We don't have that. And here's what's happening to you, beloved. When you see a person, or when you're a person that is weary and you're fainting in your mind, here's what's happening, beloved. Hear me now. We're falling back on our own resources. We're trying to be strong when God says, I want you to be weak. We don't have any resources according to God. We don't have anything in and of ourselves that keeps us moving along. And I don't mean to be simplistic, but that's the only way I need to be. And this book is a simple book if we'll just do it. I want you to know you don't have resources, but He has them. God's got them. He's got more than you could possibly imagine. He's got everything you need. He's got all that you need. He is everything. He's above everything, and He's all and in all, the Bible says about Him. You know what you and I need? Some of that good old grace from God. You know, I'll tell you what, I was in a Dunkin' Donuts a few weeks ago. It's amazing. I just like those places, amen? The gal that was behind the counter, her name was Grace. No, it wasn't Dunkin' Donuts. It was at that donut shop. Up in Michigan there, up in Fritz's Donuts or whatever. Huh? Frisky's Donuts. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. All right, we're in that donut shop. My brother Eric is on a donut quest of some sort. I'm telling you, I'm hoping he gets diabetes. I'm telling you, anyway, I know that's rough, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, it's because I look at a donut and I get fat, amen? But anyway, we're in that place, and her name is Grace. That little girl's name is Grace, and she's handing us donuts. And as soon as we get them, you know, we're biting on them because they were warm. You know what I'm talking about? I looked at her little name tag on there, and her name is Grace. I said, "Hey, your name's Grace." She goes, "Yeah." Like, stupid? Of course it is. I said, "You know what's wonder?" I said, there is no other word that describes grace but amazing. And she went, "Oh." Didn't mean anything to her, but it sure meant something to me. Because I know what grace is about. Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace that helps me to live my life. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. It's grace that helps me along. It's grace that bears me through my difficulties. It's grace that helps me get up in the morning. It's all about grace, beloved. It's all about Him. So how do we get grace? Here it is. Here's how simple it is. Pray. Pray for consider Him. It's the same thing, just worded a little bit differently in verse number 2, where it says, "And looking unto Jesus," right? Looking unto Jesus, for consider Him. Looking unto Jesus, for consider Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And all God's people said? Amen. It's faith, beloved. And I'm telling you, if you have quit, or if you're considering quitting something for God, the reason it is, look at me now, is because you haven't considered Him sufficiently. Amen. The reason you're not reading your Bible anymore or preaching and helping and serving and passing out gospel tracts and doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian, just the normal, nominal things that Christians do, these are normal things, right? This isn't super Christianity. Here I am to save the day. Not super Christianity. I'm telling you right now, this is normal Christianity. Normal. Now, we're not normal, but that's a normal way to live. And the reason you're not doing that and the reason I don't do it is because I don't consider Him sufficiently. I don't examine, Brother Eric. I don't examine. I don't take into thought what I'm going. And I'm telling you, we haven't looked at Him frequently. We haven't looked at Him frequently. Or maybe we haven't looked at Him intensely enough. Maybe we haven't remembered the shame and the difficulty and the pain. For I'm telling you tonight, beloved, if you and I did, if we would consider Him, if we would look unto Jesus like we should, He would give us enough grace to fight on. He would give us enough grace to continue the struggle. He would give us enough grace to stand fast and, having done all, to stand. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. God, help us as God's people. The problem is not with Jesus. The problem is not with the church or the way we order things or the way we do things. The problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with you and me. And you know what, friend? I didn't come here this week to be a blessing to you. That's not why I came here. Not at all. That's not my purpose. If that happens, that's only because of God, His grace. We came here to minister and to do what God's called us to do. But you know what I'm expecting from you? Help. We're exhorting one another, right? Amen? We hold each other up, right? We need each other. Do you know that? I need you and you need me and we need Jesus and we need each other, beloved. We need one another. We've got to help each other. But best of all, we need Him. The problem comes when the Christian doesn't avail themselves to that needed grace to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we need more grace. It's just simply, beloved, looking unto Jesus, consider Him, as simple as reading your Bible. Spend time in the Bible. Read it, beloved. Read it from cover to cover. Study the Bible. I mean, the entrance of thy word giveth what?
Light.
Aren't you glad about that? Give an understanding to the
simple.
Me and you. Not the scorner. God doesn't give understanding to the scorner. He gives understanding to the simple, the one who seeks it. You got to enter the word. Then he gives light, and then he gives understanding. I'm telling you, it's amazing if we'll just do what the Bible says. I'm done. After you pray and read the Bible, then, and he didn't tell me to do this, but listen to your pastor. I've been a pastor, and I've been in the ministry nearly 40 years. I love serving God. I love God's people. But it's your pastor's ministry to you of teaching and preaching and counseling from this sacred desk. I saw a picture of some dude standing on a pulpit. This guy's standing on my pulpit, I'm going to slap him sideways. That's a sacred desk. Say amen right there. Sacred. Don't come up here and mess around. You spill water up here, you clean it up. It's a sacred desk. And without joking, it is. But your good pastor comes up here on the Lord's Day, and he doesn't do his best counseling back here in that little cubby hole back here. That's not where he does his best counseling. Look at me. He does his best counseling when he opens up this holy book and tells you, "Thus saith the Lord, and thus ye will do. For consider him, looking unto Jesus." Amen? That's why you need to avail yourself to this stuff. Don't miss church. I mean, friend, listen to me. This problem is either going to not overcome you, or you're going to be quickly overcome by this issue. If you seek God's word and you seek his help and you seek his grace, I'm telling you, look at verse 3 and I'm done. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Beloved, commit yourself to God's service by faithfully attending every service. I know you're here on a Monday night, and I applaud you as your brother, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and your friend. I applaud you. But tomorrow night's coming too. Don't miss. If Aunt Bertha comes by, if she don't want to come to church, lock your refrigerator because she'll probably steal food from you. Come to church. If you don't want to come with you, come to church. Come to the house of God. I mean, take notes when you're listening. Listen to the word of God. Be a fervent prayer warrior. Listen to the Bible. Take notes. I mean, let God speak to your heart. And I'm telling you, beloved, when you do this, if you'll do this, you're using the means by which God wants to help you, that you'll endure such contradiction of sinners. You'll endure these things. You will not be weary. You might be weary, but you won't faint in your minds. How about it, Christian? And I'm done. You thinking about quitting? Don't. Please don't. I'm begging you. Would it help? I don't want to get on my knees. I can't hardly get up. I'm asking you as your brother. Don't quit. Please don't. I'm begging you, man. We need you. We've got enough people quitting. Enough. Don't quit. Don't give up. Please don't. Please get behind your pastor. Please serve God. Do what you can do. And don't you go ahead and be weary once in a while. We get that way. But don't quit. Don't be quitters. Don't be quitters. Let God help you tonight. If you've already quit, get back into the fray. Amen? Jump back in. I'm going to tell you something. Your preacher won't browbeat you. You know what? I know him enough. I've known him all these years now. I know the kind of guy he is. He'll hug you and love you, and boy, he'll be so happy that you got back in. Sure. Amen? Won't talk bad about you. He don't talk bad about you now. He just loves you. And dear lost soul, look at me. I told you a moment ago, if you die in your sins, you're going to hell, and that's the bottom line. Never getting out. Get saved tonight, will you? Jesus did everything possible to get you saved. Now you need to repent, believe the gospel. Believe tonight and be saved. Father in heaven, have your will and your way. Do a work in heart.